We've got beer reviews. Obviously, we've got podcast episodes like Johnny said, dating all the way back somehow to 2016, exactly to the day from this recording. So 5 years ago, to our KZFR listeners. The full-length version of our discussion today with spoilers, our second beer review, plus Hot and Bothered, which is always a lot of fun, will be available tomorrow morning, 7 a.m., wherever you can find a good podcast. And to all of our podcast listeners, don't fret. We'll be right back to talk spoilers in the Danger Zone. Fresh Hop Cinema is made possible in part by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by the Handlebar, offering 28 tabs of craft beer, German-inspired pub fare, and an outdoor patio on 20th Street here in Chico, next to Winco. They open every day at noon. The Handlebar, a specialty beer bar for the adventurer. Check out the Handlebar on Facebook or call 894-BEER for more information. And by Affordable Automotive, repairing and maintaining all makes of cars, trucks, and SUVs since 1996. Located at 2106 Park Avenue in Chico. Affordable Automotive has pickup and delivery service with financing available. Appointments at 892-1774 and at chicoautomotive.com. Affordable Automotive is also looking for technicians to join their team. Call Mike Button at 892-1774 for details. And hey, if you enjoyed Fresh Hop Cinema, you can now go to kzfr.org and tip this show.
And thank you for tuning in to 90.1 FM Community Radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. You're listening to the North State Water Report with Ron Topi. We'll be right back after this song by Lila June.
He said it's not a song, it's a way of life. It's a forever thing, it's a message. He said you can say that water is life. You can sing it again and again, but will they listen? Are we gonna stand by these words? Are we gonna find a way to change the way we're living, Mother Earth? She feels everything and it hurts. Like the moon, like the body of a woman, she is changing. Can we return to the times when water was alive? When we prayed at her edge and gave thanks for this life? When the water fell from the sky and we drank from her bosom? When the water fell from our eyes and the water fell from our wombs? When it rose up to the surface and we knew every spring? No fear of competition, just a relative to a phase. We are people of the sun, we are people of the water. We will celebrate our sons, we will celebrate our daughters, give them ceremony. So when the drought comes, they'll be ready. Will the next war be for water? All our solutions are part of the problem. Can't win war with war. There is more than one creation story. Worlds have died and worlds have been reborn before. When you touch the water, touch the world. From Taos peaks to Gulf streams, the memories they hold. We sell her by the acre foot and treat her as our captive. The rivers are undrinkable while the aquifer's extracted. Our food will need water to grow, but do you have to take it all? We try to hold her and control her as we watch our empire. He said it's not a song, it's a way of life. It's
answer for everything. It's a message. He said you can say that water is life. You can sing it again and again, but can you live it?
Watching, hoping, praying that this time it becomes fallen, as done by their grandmothers, grandfathers, long ago, when they spoke with animals. Their smoke still floating, touching the morning prayers. Grandfathers, grandmothers, sons and daughters, me, us, the mountains and animals, covered with the morning pollen.
Welcome to this edition to the North State Water Report. On this episode, we'll be talking with Allie Metters Knight from the local Michipta Maidu. Allie is a traditional ecological knowledge practitioner and teacher, as well as an environmental and social justice advocate. Later in the show, we'll be talking with Jim Brobeck from Aqua Alliance. Tonight, we're going to be talking about water diversions and their impacts on our watersheds and fish. And something else that's been getting a lot of attention these days in Chico, the Tuscan Water District. In the spring of this year, there were reports coming from Friends of Butte Creek and the Department of Fish and Wildlife about a record run of wild Chinook salmon on Butte Creek. Early estimates were 18 to 20,000 fish. An early May release of water from PG&E brought some increased flows and cold water for the fish. However, that wasn't enough to keep the water levels and flow up and the temps cold enough for the fish. In mid-June, reports started coming in that fish were dying, suffocating in the warm water, and suffering from ick, a parasitic disease also known as white spot. When water temperatures are warming between spring and summer months, the crowded pools of salmon become highly susceptible. As summer progressed and more water began to be diverted off Butte Creek, by mid-July, hundreds of fish were dying. By August, it was in the thousands. Another PG&E release of water from the west branch of the Feather River helped cool water down and stop the spread of the disease. Many fish are now showing up in the spawning pools on Butte Creek. But also this summer on the Klamath River, there were also reports of juvenile salmon dying because of warm water temps. Karuk Tribal Fish Monitoring Program traps were full of dead juvenile salmon in May. Reports said that 97% of juvenile salmon caught in the in-river trapping system were either dead or would be dead within a week. The Sacramento Fish Monitoring Program was also reporting high numbers of fish dying due to warm water temps. The ongoing drought and climate change are what are being determined to be two main factors in all of these fish dying off. But there is something else contributing to the warmer waters and low flow levels on our rivers and creeks. We've all seen the pictures of the Shasta and Oroville reservoirs with extreme low water levels. Shasta is down to a record low level of 26% of its capacity, and at the Oroville Dam, hydroelectric was shut down due to low water level. It is said that California is the most hydrologically altered landmass on the planet. With all the dams, levees, diversions to fill irrigation canals, massive pumps pulling water from the Sacramento-San Joaquin Delta for agriculture, drained wetlands for development and farmland, it's not hard to imagine that this is a true statement. So could there be another culprit at play with what we're observing in our creeks this year? So tonight I have with us Allie Metters Knight. And let me bring Allie on here. Allie, are you there? We're having a little difficulty here. Let me, I'm going to play another song real quick here, and we're going to get Allie on in just a second.
Town graves dug deep, water dirty like the police that flood streets, blood on the beach, sandstorms on the streets. A man's form can be transformed with the heat of the moment. We think our opponent is overseas, but we messing with Mother Nature's ovaries. It's a cruel winter, summer don't know itself. I say get green, but all know is wealth. I know I'm supposed to help, that's what I'm made for. I'm a made man, but I ain't a maid, though. God's gift to this earth, that's what she prayed for. They ain't been stable since Cain killed Abel. Was the word, and then he made water. Then he made man, and then came the slaughter, slaughter, slaughter. Everything was peaceful till you showed up on the land of other people. Contaminate the ocean, now the water is lethal. $4 for 2 liters, that should be illegal. Amigo, Evo, Contigo, can't even find Nemo. The water used to be see-through, wish weapons was food, then we all be feared. I wish narcotics was fruit, I got them apples in red, the nemesis since Genesis. When the water starts to kill the fish, that's when you know how ill it is. Still it is, they do the unthinkable. Water same color as tea, that's still deemed drinkable. Survival of the fit, how we was brought up, but never taught us prepare for world water.
No imbalance, fresh and salt water way out of balance. Stop with this goof, ice water challenge. The ocean ain't your mug, trash can, living in the gas land. Fire water flow straight out of the faucet. Now fire water flow straight out of the faucet. We rip in the planet, Mother Earth is a caustic. So what the f*** is cracking with all this fracking? They go f*** around and release the Kraken. Trouble in the water used to mean that a shark could eat you. Now you got a better chance of bumping in the Sharkisha. I'm part creature. Gorilla monsoon tracks for Jesus to talk on. Disease to disease for Jesus to walk on. Kill our Mother Earth, cause she way too big for us to put chalk on. Good music!
This camera off, stand up, please. Keep fighting. Keep fighting. Whatever you do, keep fighting.
Some hope dogs away and to leave the land alone. It's gotta be a crime. Somewhere in your heart you'll find our brothers. We are camping out for each other. We are stronger when we band together, and we're standing up for the water. Don't poison the future. So if you treat her with disrespect, then what message have you left for your children and their home? In the river is our sisters and our brothers.
Okay, we're back here again, and we're going to see if we have Allie on the air. Allie, are you there? Yeah,
hello.
Okay, we got
Thank
you.
Madam.
Great. All right, how you doing, Allie?
I'm doing pretty good. Hope everyone's doing good tonight.
Yeah, so anyways, you heard my intro, and we're going to talk about, water diversions and the drought. And what's happening with the fish? And as a traditional ecological knowledge practitioner, what is your perspective on what's happening within our watersheds?
So we've had we have a historical timeline to look at. And as a traditional ecological practitioner, which is TEK, traditional ecological knowledge, and this is local knowledge from the Mechoopda Indian tribe. So when we look back at just the colonial history, which is about 180 years, we can look back at the arrival of the colonizers, of John Bidwell, the pioneer groups of folks that did a lot of water diversions to build their economic development through agriculture. And so a lot of these practices and water diversions were just come as you are, do what you can, not designed by engineers, not designed for long-term use, but just designed for the purpose of what it was intended at that time. So here in Chico, we have two, you know, huge diversions that happen that still affect us today in major ways. And one of them is the Mud Creek diversion over above 5 Mile. This is it's basically a Sycamore Creek and the Mud Creek diversion away from the Rio Lindo. And so years ago, the Rio Lindo, which was a actual creek that was flowing all year round, the city at one point decided to just use it as a flood control zone and a what you call a groundwater recharge area. So this was to recharge our groundwater aquifer. And so they designed it poorly, and so it was supposed to bring, you know, Mud Creek is supposed to get about 80 or, you know, 14, what they call cubic feet of water. You know, there's like these measurements, and because the diversion is poorly made, it needs to be restructured by the Army Corps of Engineers, it gets about 80. So we're looking at, you know, 14, and now instead of getting 14 cubic feet, you're getting 80 cubic feet, and then the rest is not going into the Rio Lindo, and you're not getting that recharge. And so all the riparia along the corridor of the historical riparia that's just precious is actually dying because it's not getting the water it needs, and it's due to a poorly made and now non-functioning diversion that is doing the opposite of what it was intended to do.
Yeah, and wasn't that also essentially to make Big Chico Creek just come through downtown as well?
Yes, there were some very aesthetics and optic decisions made for it that wasn't about the health of the ecosystem, the health of the fish, and even the health of the humans. So these were just purely like whimsical, like, I think this is a great idea, and we should do it, and we'll see how it goes. And a lot of these were made, and this is why California, all of our waterways are not owned by the cities and local municipals anymore, because they don't make really good decisions based on the overall economic and ecological health of California.
So that brings up a good point that you say that cities don't really own these waterways anymore. Well, who does? I know in the state of California, there's a lot of talk about senior water rights holders all the time, and you know, the...
Senior water rights. People, you know, the water rights, the senior water rights, the junior water rights, those come into play during a drought. So being a senior water rights when there's plenty of water is pretty silly to go around and brag about. The only time it really means something is during a drought. So when there's a senior water holder or senior rights water holder gets to make decisions about just, you know, putting water into their pockets, and they get paid. They basically don't go out of water. They don't run out of water. They're senior. And that's based on basically time. So that's a tenure type situation. So a senior water right is one who was there first during, and not native first, but first colonizers, the first pioneers that touched that land, and some of them were little notes on trees that said that I have the water right. So that now, you know, 180 years later, they have a senior water right. In Butte County, we are primarily owned and operated by one senior water right holder, the Paradise Irrigation District, and which is a lot of big corporate stakeholders, very wealthy people in the area that are considered stakeholders based on the amount of property they own and how much money they have, and how much money they like to sell. And so Paradise, being a senior water rights holder, was able to sell off water rights after the campfire because of the lack of residents there, and then the lack of demand because the residents were gone gave a lot of these stakeholders, you know, freed up spaces of water to sell. And so you don't always get this news on top of the news that you get from the campfire, but this is an essential part of how senior water rights holders operate. And now they're operating during a drought by taking advantage of the campfire people that are gone and lack of demand for water and selling that water.
Yeah, and that brings us to this newly formed Tuscan Water District that isn't officially a legal water district yet, but it made some steps this week, didn't it?
Well, yes, they're being very ambitious. I really think about the Tuscan Aquifer District is that this, because the nature of this beast is to exploit the situation the county's in, one, with the Paradise Irrigation District, senior water rights, and having Teeter and having these political players playing with them and saying, we need a lot of yes men on a water district for our big plans, right? Our big plans to use Paradise, Paradise basically poop water to recharge groundwater in Chico. And that's, they've got all kinds of plans for this stuff. And so they're really pulling together all of their comrades and on these little committees and areas. The problem with the Tuscan Aquifer is that they could go all the way to the finish line. And if they don't talk to the tribal communities who still have senior water rights big time, they have it over the Paradise Irrigation District. But because they've never played nice ever with understanding or recognizing tribal rights, this is going to be the one that's really going to set them back, because they have to develop a GSP, which is a groundwater sustainability plan. The Tuscan Aquifer District has to. And when they send over that groundwater sustainability plan and they have zero consultation with tribes, or they don't have a lot of senior water rights information about how this works with the tribe, which, they're called GSAs, Groundwater Sustainability Agencies. They have to develop this, and then they're going to have to put this forward. And the government-to-government relationship between this agency, this Groundwater Sustainability Agencies, and these senior water right tribes, which, as we know in Butte County, there's a lot of tribes here, especially with Chupta being one of the federally recognized tribes. It would knock them out of... They will not get their GSP, their groundwater sustainability plan, approved by the DWR, which is what they need to have done. So their final step is to actually say that they've played fair, they've consulted with everybody, and they're making mindful decisions. And the fact that they're keeping it secret, they're doing it in a haphazard way, they may end up spending and investing tons of money developing this wannabe this water district, only to fail at the very end at creating a very balanced and sensible groundwater sustainability plan, which I think they will fail out miserably. And if they do succeed in getting it approved without consultation with tribes, therein lies the lawsuits. And then most of the lawsuits in California will tie up this district for a good 50 years.
Well, that's much better news than what I was under the impression is, as far as this thing moving forward. I thought they were just a few steps away from actually being able to start managing the water here in Butte County.
They have a few more steps. The big step mm-hmm. is the general sustainability plan that they have to submit. And they won't go anywhere until they actually have a plan. Just like any of us, you have to have a mission statement, what your plan is. So we believe Tom Kimmelshue's brother, who works with a lot of orchards, is trying to sell this idea that you could recharge with, sewage water. You can recharge with storm water that comes off of orchards and count all of that, even though it's full of pesticides, and and put that into the environment. Their ideas are not scientifically sound or even backed up or even published in a journal, in fact. So they're going to have a lot of contention at the very end. This, to me, looks just like a lot of smoke and mirrors for power that really they're going to have to do their homework and show me their dance moves if they're really going to do something, because so far I don't see nothing.
Yeah, outside of just a big water grab, and that would essentially lead to this water district being able to manage the Tuscan Aquifer as their kind of personal underground water storage, correct?
Yeah, so the Vena Basin Water District has a GSA that works with the tribes. So they have already submitted their GSP, and it's been approved. So they're going to have to write one better than the one that already exists, that already has all the tribes on board. Hmm. And so this groundwater recharge, we need to now move on to these diversions that are just ill-equipped, that are just broken. And we have two of them. We have one right there on the 5 mile, that area that's got a lot of, it's underneath, you can't see it, but the silt underneath that diversion has built up so much that no water goes into the Rio Lindo when it's supposed to have water at least 6 to 7 months through for the riparia. And the other one is the Butte Creek PG&E hydraulic dam. And that one is really important because it ideally could fix, you know, it's like two birds and one stone type of thing. One, not only would you be able to increase the flow of water and get more recharge into the groundwater and aquifer in the area, which is really important to farmers and to the ecosystems, but second of all, you're going to have more flow, so the temperature of the water during climate change is not 70 to 80 degrees like it is at Covered Bridge in certain areas around Chico, around Highway 99, which kill fish, kill salmon.
Yeah, that's what happened this year, I guess. You know, I was following Friends of Butte Creek posts for a while, you know, right after the initial... the initial reports of a record run coming up Butte Creek, and then all of a sudden, you know, in late May, early June, we started hearing about fish dying and the water warming up, and at some point in May, mid-May or so, in early to mid-May, PG&E had released some water, and that helped a bit, but then by June and July, you know, hundreds of fish were dying a day, and it wasn't until... like mid-August when PG&E released some more water that things stabilized again, and what fish had survived through that midsummer period of warm water were able to make it, and I guess now they're starting to show up at the spawning pools.
PG&E does not like owning that hydra. It's for sale, and they basically mm-hmm. are selling it, like similar to the Klamath tribes that you're looking at, Warren Buffett and Pacific Core, where they have these really crappy, ungood dams that don't actually, that break all of these Clean Water Act regulations and blah, blah, blah. So they have to sell them to somebody who's going to take them down. So it's almost like selling a house that you're going to destroy. Most people would rather you destroy the house, I'll just buy the property. So it's a really hard sell, as they call it, because you have, you know, you're, the PG&E just can't, and then there's a liability behind, you know, removing it and everything. So these kind of experiences I've seen, they should not be obstacles in the way of doing what's right. They should just be some of the things that just need to be mitigated. And so the problem is shopping around and finding a buyer of this, crappy PG&E hydro dam that's to take it down. And to be part of that. So that is going to be a kind of like a new type of movement on how we decolonize our corporate actions. And some of it would be just to invest in those types of actions for climate change. The other thing is that, this dam being put up there by PG&E, PG&E does have a tribal liaison named Reno Franklin. And Reno Franklin is also is a TIPO officer for tribes. So I think it would be a great opportunity for Reno Franklin, who is an advocate for tribal resources, to really look at how powerful and a beautiful move it would be to facilitate the removal of this dam for the sustainable habitat and bring back even the numbers of salmon. And this would also help the restoration for the campfire in our waterways. We actually need the salmon for the water and the, you know, for the future of our ecosystems and the Butte Creek Canyon.
Yeah, that kind of brings me to a question that I had about water diversions and how that all works on Butte Creek. And some of the reports that I was getting from some people that were involved with the fish counts up there noticed that a lot of the fish started dying at the higher rates in correlation with more diversions happening, like when they started really opening up the diversions in the early summer, when the farmers down below 99 started pulling more water off, was when the flows decreased and the temperatures went up and the fish really started dying. And what the, you know, what the connection between that could possibly be, like how would pulling more water off that low affect the cold water pools higher up? And also the fact that Butte Creek is really dependent on water diversions coming off of the west branch of the Feather River through the PG&E Dam into Butte Creek. And that, you know, it just happens to help keep the fish alive, but that water is really so that they can carry more water down for agriculture diversions. Am I correct?
That is correct. And so that was the intention from the beginning, is to give more water to farmers, because essentially during a drought, agriculture and livestock are senior water rights holders. So that's why they're able to do the diversion. But when you don't have an infrastructure of tribes sitting as a GSA, you know, with their GSA representatives negotiating on this level, you're going to have complete and total, they're taking complete and total advantage of Butte County tribes, the Chippewa Indian tribe, and any other tribe in the area from Glynn County to Hama County. And they are completely walking over, ignoring, and they're being very audacious about saying that, you know, basically, federal, you know, Indian tribes, you know, their senior water rights are negotiable, just to say that they exist at all. And so Butte County is famous for not even acknowledging tribal rights until they get into federal court and realize the gravity of their ignorance. But when you're looking at state law, California, you have B-1011. That's an executive order from Newsom, and that, that was really important part of water, senior water rights for tribes through the GSA and through this GSP process. That the Tuscan Aquifer District, if they're not listening, they probably don't, you know, realize the gravity as well of their ignorance, that negotiating with tribes and getting your GSA reps to be part of this GSP that has to be developed if you're going to beat the other existing water district that already has completed theirs and had it approved, then we're really looking at how to implement Executive Order B-1011. And so that is essentially what's been part of a lot of San Diego water rights and everything, that that tribes can come in and kind of save the day when big corporations and water grabs seem to have, you know, this very dark and murky, like, ha, we've got you all. Not quite. And so there's this, you know, second take that can go on. And so part of the movement at Standing Rock was actually getting people to understand what water protection is and water is life, and to educate Native leaders and advocates like myself about senior water rights and how to battle and when to bring in the fight, and also know when we're being fed a bunch of BS about, you know, our pending doom. These folks have not won the day, and they haven't even done their homework to prove that they're capable of managing a water district.
Well, we're really going to need the Machupta Maidu to really hopefully step up and help block this Tuscan Aquifer and assert your senior water rights.
Definitely. And I think we also have a great relationship with the Army Corps of Engineers, way more than perhaps the city of Chico's Public Works has. So we've built some really great partnerships in the federal agencies to get some work done. So I'd love to see this PG&E program, along with their tribal liaison, Reno Franklin, and our TIPO officer and our and myself work on cultural restoration practices within our watersheds that are effective, not only for us, but would help the whole community. And so that's what I'm thinking that we could do in the future, is look at the infrastructure from climate change and what we can do to do climate adaptation to survive some of the heat waves we're going to have, and not have a we're going to have to mitigate the impacts. We're going to have impacts, but we want to minimize as much as we can if we can.
Yeah. As far as those relationships you're talking about, I heard recently about a big grant that the Machupta might have received for creek restoration out on Highway 149, and I believe that's Clear Creek. Yeah. There's a big restoration grant with the Army Corps of Engineers.
Yes. And it's the very first, pretty much hand-in-hand project the Army Corps of Engineers has been doing with a tribe over in this area. And so it is actually historical. And that is going to be really exciting to work with them also on the Rio Lindo and perhaps even Butte Creek, and not just Clear Creek. But these type of partnerships and projects build capacity and also build the integrity of the relationship between the two agencies, especially government to government. And so I really want folks to understand how a federally recognized tribe has sovereignty and federal jurisdiction, whereas the city of Chico is just a tiny municipal under a lot of layers of bureaucracy, and they really don't get a lot done. So I am really excited to work under the federal agency with other federal agencies and kind of get things done for climate change and maybe working on our diversions and our watershed projects with a lot more insight of how this will benefit generations to come, not just our local, 5-year, 10-year budget plan.
Yeah, Butte Creek's going to need a lot of help into the future, and I've heard there's some things possibly coming on Butte Creek in the future here. So for another night for us to talk about that one. So, Allie, is there anything that you would like to add in closing? Because we're going to have to take a station break here, and then I'm going to bring on Jimmy Brobeck for the rest of the show. But did you have anything else you want our listeners to know?
Yes, I want everybody to get involved. I need people to understand that our water is our life, our future generations. We don't really have to pick the panic button when it comes to the Tuscan Aquifer. But this is a great exercise for all of us to understand that we all have to play a part in managing our aquifer, whether it's voting, reading, learning, showing up. But one of the biggest things is also supporting Machupta Indian Tribe and their endeavors, because this could be something that the tribe could do to intervene at the last minute, on the last, at the end of the game, what folks think is the end of the game. Because the tribal consultation that needs to take place, especially because Paradise and this whole area is within the Machupta tribal territory, the impacts of not taking our GSA data and putting it in will completely change the dynamics of the future. So support the Machupta Indian Tribe. Read about the Tuscan Aquifer. Read about the waterways and the changes that we have here. But also support removing the dam at PG&E Dam up on Butte Creek. And also support the Army Corps Engineers mitigating the problem that we have at Rio Lindo so we can save our riparia.
Okay, thank you, Allie Metters-Knight. Again, we've been talking to Allie Metters-Knight of the Machupta Maidu Tribe about water diversions and senior water rights and how you can support the Machupta Maidu in their efforts to bring some balance, restore some balance back to our watersheds. Thank you, Allie.
Thank you.
And let's see, the North State Water Report is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Friends of the Arts, your local art partner to the California Arts Council since 2001. Friends of the Arts creates economic opportunity by producing and supporting events and by publishing a bi-monthly arts and culture newsletter. To stay in the know or have your event listed, visit friendsof.art and by Happy Campers RV Rentals, where you can feel at home away from home. Happy Campers RV is a locally owned small business offering clean and comfortable RVs for a weekend getaway. or an extended vacation. Happy Campers has a 5-star camper service and cleanliness rating, and offer different sizes and styles at happycamperschico.com. And we're going to take a quick music break here, and we're going to listen to a song by local artist and water advocate Jim Brobeck, and then we're going to have him on the phone for a conversation about the Tuscan Water District and where the Aqua Alliance is on that issue.
Catch a Ralph River, hitchhike with your boat, paddle to the current, move with the flow, won't feel rhythm, river, rhythm, I wanna feel that flow, feel the river flow, and though it seems bold, I wanna be the flow, be the river flow. Feel that flow, feel the ocean flow, and though it seems bold, I wanna be that flow, be the ocean flow.
And that was Jim Brobeck with his song Flow. And I have Jim on the air right now to talk to us about the Tuscan Water District. Jim, are you there?
It's an honor to be here with you, Ron. Thanks.
Great. All right. I've got this, I think I got this phone system thing down now. Had a little glitch earlier with Allie, but we got it going. So, hey, Jim, were you at that Board of Supervisors meeting the other day?
I was closely following it, and I submitted comments and talked to several of the supervisors ahead of time, but I did not get on the bus and go to Oroville that day.
Yeah. So,
but I closely followed it, and I was not surprised to see the three boys vote for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you're a water policy analyst with a local organization called the Aqua Alliance, and so what is the Aqua Alliance's position on the formation of this new water district?
We see this as just a continuation of the long-standing plan by the California Department of Water Resources and even the United States Bureau of Reclamation to be able to make use of the groundwater underneath Butte County and throughout the whole Butte Basin as a water bank for the rest of the state. In 1978, the California Department of Water Resources released their groundwater report, and they identified the Butte Basin aquifer system, known now as the Tuscan Aquifer System, as a potential source for about 500,000 acre-feet of annual water supply that could be developed for use throughout the state. This report recommended drawing the water level down 100 feet below the historic low at that time to create storage space for artificial recharge. They recognized in this report that, quote, the initial draft of the basin may be an issue, unquote. Yeah, I bet. The report mentioned that the existing surface water distribution system could be expanded into areas currently relying on groundwater to serve the acres of land presently relying on groundwater.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the sole purpose of the Tuscan Water District is to create exactly that infrastructure to import, transfer, and recharge the water. I'm currently involved on the Stakeholder Advisory Committee for the Vina Groundwater Sustainability Plan that Allie was mentioning. And the consultants for that plan have decided that the groundwater could be operated sustainably within a range ranging from the historic low, which is lower than it was back in 78, and to up to 60 feet below that. And this is suspiciously tracking what the 1978 Department of Water Resources planned. And it's something that I'm strongly protesting. I don't think this is a key to sustainability. In fact, I think it's going to have real severe impacts on dewatering streams even more than they already are, and dewatering the root system underneath the valley oak trees, as well as the Chico urban forest. So I'm very strongly against it. Also, the Tuscan Water District explains that they have no intention of transporting water out of the county, that they only want to do projects that are in the plan. Right now, the only recharge projects in the plan are studies. They're not actual plans to do it. But these plans to do it will closely follow the studies, the study for the PID interchange, and for finding other sources of water out of the rivers in order to put into freshly built canals to serve areas that are currently served by groundwater. And once they do this artificial recharge, it creates a water bank that is owned by the people who instituted the recharge. According to the lawyer that is the lawyer for the Vina sub-basin, this recharge water would be owned by the people diverting it. And when asked, could this water be exported out of the county, out of the basin? And our attorney said, well, depending on the project scope, it could intend to export recharge water out of the basin. And furthermore, the benefits of this recharge could extend way beyond the Vina Basin, all the way into Glenn and Colusa County. So even if they did install these expensive canals and start charging the people who are currently on groundwater for the surface water and charge them to build the canals, et cetera, the benefits to it could end up going over to Glenn and Colusa County, where they are already selling water. What they do is they sell their surface water allocation and pump groundwater instead. It's called a groundwater substitution water transfer. And that is how the state of California is envisioning integrating the Tuscan aquifer system into the state water supply through this conjunctive water transfers. And so Aqua Alliance is convinced that the Tuscan Water District is a fulfillment of the long-standing plans by the Department of Water Resources to find a new source of water to meet the ever-expanding demand for water out of Northern California into the San Joaquin Valley, where those giant farms are sucking the ground dry and sucking every river down there down to the very gravel.
Yeah.
So we are obviously against it. I know there's other groups. There's some attorneys that are working on some of the technical aspects of the application and of the legality of it to challenge the process in court. Right now, Aqua Alliance is challenging these groundwater transfers and supplemental water supply that is happening on the other side of the river, where the Glenn Cluse Irrigation District, for instance, is pumping about, I'd say, 150% of what the city of Chico uses in a year. They've pumped that much this summer to keep the rice growing over there, because they claim they couldn't anticipate that it was going to be such a dry year and that they would have their river water allocation reduced.
Wow.
And I mean, even at the same time that they're pumping groundwater, they're selling some of their surface allocations, even doing groundwater substitution transfers. So this puts a further strain on the Tuscan aquifer system. And for the farmers, the family farmers who have signed on to the Tuscan Water District, I just feel that they don't really have a full picture of what's happening here. I think the biggest players, which is the Church of Latter-day Saints, which is one of the largest landowners, not just in California, but in the United States, also is the largest landowner that signed on to the Tuscan Group. And they have some river water rights, the Sacramento River, that they could maybe do some artificial recharge. And once you start artificial and recharge, you own the water that you put in there. That water is no longer legally groundwater. It's just surface water that's temporarily stored underground, as far as California legal law. And that they can do with it what they want. And the Butte County ordinances that inhibits groundwater substitution is targeted by the emerging California water market. I just read a report by the Public Policy Institute of California. This is an institute that was created by three big shot business leaders. One of them was the former president of Ford Motor Company. Another was the co-founder of Hewlett Packard. And they explain that legislation could be used to empower the state water board to supersede decisions by local agencies and counties that prohibit out-of-jurisdiction water transfers. So Butte County ordinances that have thus far prevented groundwater substitution transfers from happening after what happened in the mid-90s when they did do this, and it had really bad effects on the shallow aquifer, the state could just step in and supersede our ordinances, and they could say, well, you have a SGMA process now. You have a groundwater sustainability plan that allows you to pull the aquifer down that far, and you already decided that that's sustainable. So that's one of the big reasons why I am protesting the draft groundwater sustainability plan as it's written, because I think that, too, is a big part of this scheme to integrate the groundwater into the state water supply.
Yeah.
So Aqua Alliance is against it. We're protesting in court for the water transfers that are occurring, and we're keeping an eye on what LAFCO is going to do with this Tuscan Water District plan.
So it sounds like between Aqua Alliance potentially tying things up in court and some of the local native tribes that have senior water rights also potentially tying this up for a while, we might be able to hold this thing off, huh?
Well, it is a constant effort that we need to get engaged in. I agree with Allie that citizens need to be involved, be aware, be educated on it, and to stand up for what's right, both socially and environmentally.
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead, Jim. Finish your thought.
Well, and that's what I do. I mean, I've been involved in this for about 11 years now, maybe a little bit longer, trying to plug the holes that are trying to drain the water out of the northern Sacramento Valley. We need to maintain some level of aquifer balance if we're going to endure these dry years, perhaps dry decades. It's the groundwater that provides the buffer that keeps the streams flowing, keeps the oak trees and the urban forest alive. And so that is my main goal right now, is to defend this, the water of Northern California, for all of us, for all the relatives.
Well, we're very grateful for the work that you do here, Jimmy, and that's exactly why I started this radio show, the North State Water Report, was to hopefully help in the education process of letting people know what's happening out there, and interviewing people like you and Ally Matters Tonight, and as the show goes on, we'll get more and more people in here with strong voices and knowledge about what's going on with the water here in the North State. So thank you, Jimmy. We are out of time, and I'm sure we'll be able to have more conversations about this in the future.
Thanks for putting your skills in this important work. I appreciate it, Ron.
Thank
you. Talk to you later.
Okay, thanks, Jim. And the North State Water Report is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Jeep Trail Print Shop, a small local Chico screen printing that loves great design, small businesses, musicians, educators, and creative customers. Jeep Trail Print Shops specializes in water-based screen printing to bring your vision to life. More information at 530-415-6244 and at jeeptrailprint.com. And by the bankruptcy law offices of Michael O'Hayes, a proud supporter of community radio for more than 40 years. Michael O'Hayes has provided consultations for Chapter 7 and Chapter 13 bankruptcies. You can reach Michael O'Hayes, spelled H-A-Y-S, at 892-8916 and at mhayeslaw.com. And thank you for listening to this edition of the North State Water Report on 90.1 FM KZFR, and we're going to go out with another song by Lila June.
I hear a grandfather's song, and it sounds like sand walking down the river bottom. And in this song, they talk about how even the mighty